This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Discovery Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
This is now day nine, I believe, of the coaching search for Razorback basketball. You want updates?
I got no updates at all. There's nothing that's changed. Everything essentially is the same. More names getting thrown out. More mud is getting thrown against the wall, seeing what sticks. It's just, it's a very frustrating time for Razorback fans, just to be honest. And, you know, I'm getting to the point to where, at least with me, and I don't know if it's the same way with you and the listeners, but it gets to the same point with me that I just want to turn it all off. You know, I get to the point where I'm not believing anybody. I don't trust anybody. I don't want to hear about it because all it's going to do is try to get me to start thinking about things, about how, oh, maybe it's this coach. What if this is true? Is this true? Who do I believe? Who do I don't believe? And it gets frustrating. And I'm honestly at the point where it's just like, you know, I'm done with it. I just want to see what happens when they actually hire the coach. When they hire the coach, when the guy goes in front of the media and the fans and that press conference, puts on the hog hat, calls the hogs, says he's happy to be here, whoever that guy is, that's when I will give my thoughts and opinion on who they hired and if it was a good hire or not. Because there are so many different situations and so many different things that could be going on right now, folks. And if you just look at it from a common sense perspective, don't look at it from who's been saying what you've been hearing, you know, your buddy, your neighbor, that has a friend of his that's close with a booster or a board of trustee that knows something. Like, take all of that out of it. Take all of it out. Just think about it from what you know, facts that you know. You know that right now, Arkansas does not have a coach. You know that right now, there are still teams playing in the Final Four, perhaps in the national championship. You still know that they are out there searching for their guy. You know that they want to win at a high level. At least that's what they have given you the perception of. Because if they did not feel that they wanted to win at a high level, here's what it's all about, folks. If Arkansas was not committed to trying to win at a high level, they would not have fired Mike Anderson. Because Mike Anderson won, he just didn't win at a high level. So that right there, at least the perception from it all, shows that this school, this athletic department, this administration, everyone involved is committed to winning at a high level. At least that's your hope. That's what you perceive it to be. And if that is true, they have to back it up with a financial offer to their guy, whoever it is. Now, we've gone through a bunch of different names. We've gone through guys like Kelvin Sampson. Guys like Eric Musselman. I guess the flavor of the day yesterday was Steve Alford, which punched me in my face if he ended up being the guy. Names have been thrown around all the time. And then you've had pipe dreams that some fans and listeners and everybody have had, like Billy Donovan. Somebody like that. Brad Stevens. Maybe even Chris Beard. Names have been thrown around all the time. But what you're hoping, though, is that there is a plan in place. You're hoping that all of these names that have been thrown around are smoke screens, smoke and mirrors, misdirection, deception, all of that. You're hoping that's the case, because here's the thing. One of two things have to be true. It either has to be an epic disaster right now of a coaching process, or it has to be a genius plan where all these other coaches and names, people are following these trails that are being left out. I think that's what it is more than anything. Now, I may be wrong in the end, but I think it's more about particular people with the board of trustees or media members being leaked certain information from different people, and they're running with that information, and that's not even true whatsoever. but it's just a name. It's just to get them to go, hey, look over here, look over here. This is what we're actually doing over here. I think that's what it's more it is than anything. Because that's what it kind of has the sense of. People want, I think, Hunter Yurecek, if, again, this is all just basing off of my assumptions. But Hunter Yurecek, he's probably laughing right now saying, this is great. Everybody thinks we're going after these guys. Everybody thinks that we are just failing miserably. We have no idea what we're doing. But yet, there's a plan in place. And just a matter of going through the process of it. That's what you're hoping. But it's all going to come down to the end result. It's never going to be about how much this sucks to come onto this show every single day and try to speculate and try to give you information that you're starving for with the coaching search that really none of us know any more than the other. I know that there's media members, and I respect my fellow media members with the utmost respect, and here in the state of Arkansas. But they, like me, they all have to give information. I mean, this is high time. This is where, you know, if we've been checking our streaming numbers. We've had more streamers here in the past week and a half than we had the previous weeks. Why? Because people are starving for information on this coaching search. So we try to deliver. I try to give you all of my thoughts and opinions, what I've been hearing. Now, some of it may be a bunch of crap. Some of it may be complete nonsense, and that's fine. I'll take it and I'll own it. But that's where people are at. They just want to know so badly. They want to know. But it's a matter of just letting the process play out and letting Hunter Yurecek and this administration do their job and get the right guy. Because at this point, again, we have been told, we have heard, we have discussed more things than I can even shake a stick at. Like, what was it Monday? Think about our show. If you replayed our show from Monday and then listened to our show today, it's going to sound like we had no idea what we were talking about. We were just lying to you all. Even though that's just the things that have been discussed and the things have been heard. I mean, it's just been that type of week where every single day there's something new, there's something developed, there's something different going on. And we have to rely on those sources and that information to relay it to you. So it makes us all look like a bunch of fools, and which is fine. I look like a fool on the daily basis. I have no qualms about coming on this show and making myself look stupid. Do it daily, and that's fine. I will own that. I will enjoy it. I will embrace it, and hopefully some of you find it entertaining enough to listen to me every morning. That's the whole point. But getting back to this coaching search, I hope, I pray, I really, 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 really pray that this whole thing is part of the grand plan, the grand master plan, the genius grand master plan of the university to go out and get some big-time coach. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, this is, again, what I've been hearing. Doesn't make it factual. It's what I've been hearing. The University of Arkansas is not afraid to offer ridiculous amounts of money to a particular coach to get him to come to Arkansas. And when I'm talking about ridiculous amount of money, I'm talking about an amount of money between $5 and $6 million a year. No, I'm not joking. They have that type of backing. They are that committed to getting their guy. And so just put all these pieces together, folks. If that's true, and they're willing to offer $5 to $6 million a year to a coach, and they do not have their coach just yet, what coach do you think they're waiting on to offer $5 to $6 million? Put the pieces together, and you got yourself a conspiracy theory. Could it be that guy? The guy that's coaching in the Final Four? The guy that has a pretty good relationship with Stevens down in Little Rock? Just throwing it out there. That's what I've been hearing. But time will tell. We have to discuss it. We have to wait patiently. And unfortunately for both of those things, I think we're all tired of discussing it and tired of waiting patiently.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that.
Fieldhouse. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Talking about, hey, if Arkansas is ponying up $6 million a year to find a new basketball coach, who would be worth that money? Who would be interested in taking it? And Ty, you read some of the names off of that list of the guys that are making at least not as much of that, not that much money each year, even though some of them, I'm sure, with incentives and bonuses, they're probably making more. Like Roy Williams, there's no way that Roy Williams is not making at least $6 to $10 million in that range after everything gets settled down. But who is the rest on that list? Because we went through some of the big time coaches, and almost none of them we would say would come here or that Arkansas would even be interested in. So who else is down on that list?
I don't think you'll know who this is, but he's behind Beeline. Larry Krystowiak. Can you tell me where he coaches? Utah. He's making 3.5. Greg Marshall also making about 3.5. Archie Miller at Indiana is making 3.25. Rick Barnes is making 3.25. Shock at 3.2. We'll see how long that lasts at Texas.
Okay, so just those few coaches that you just mentioned. Yeah, Texas, throw Shock Smart out because he's definitely not worth it. Would any of those coaches be worth getting to Arkansas for $6 million? Would any of those coaches?
I don't
coaches,
even think Greg Marshall's worth $6
million. I don't either.
He's don't in either. That second tier. He might be worth 4.5, but
just to me, six, like, and the reason I'm throwing, just since if you're just joining us, the reason I'm throwing out the figure of $6 million per year is because, you know, my sauces have said, I even hate even bringing this up, but it's just a talking point that I want to make a point on, that the University of Arkansas is willing to spend near $5 to $6 million per year for the next head coach, where essentially $3 to $4 million of that comes from the U of A, and the rest of it comes from particular board of trustees and boosters. That's what I've heard. So if that is true, just assuming that's true, that the University of Arkansas has $6 million to play with when it comes to their basketball coach, we're trying to figure out, okay, so who would be worth that amount of money?
So I'm looking at this list, and I can only think of maybe five. I think Izzo's worth it because Kay and Cal are making more than that. Izzo, Bennett, Self, Roy, yeah. Jay. Beeline might be that, but that's really pushing it. So five. Yeah. Five that I'm sure on.
Okay. So let's just look at some other coaches real quick. Would Chris Beard be worth $6 million?
Yes.
See, I'm with you there, too.
He's way down the list.
Because he's 3.1, I think, is what he's making right
2.8
now.
2.8 is what it's saying on this.
Okay. So I thought it may have been 3.1. Either way, again, we don't know with the bonuses and all that stuff how much these coaches are actually making. So we're just going basing it off of salary. But, you know, if there is particular coaches that will be looking to leave or at least can have a price, I think Chris Beard for sure 100% is worth $6 million, even though he's only been a head coach of a college basketball team for what, 5-6 years now?
I think he's going on year four. He had 1 year at Euler. He had that little 2-week stint at UNLV, and then this is his, I believe, third year.
Yes, that's
true.
I'd
double check that, but I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
So another one that I was kind of going down the list on is Bruce Pearl. Is he?
Man.
I mean, an Elite Eight appearance, taking Auburn to their first Final Four. I know it took him a little while to get going. Beard was, I mean, you think about it, Beard got his team to Elite Eight year two. Mm. They should have won the Big 12 championship if not for Keenan Evans getting injured. And then they ended up sharing it with Kansas State this year. So in 3 years at Texas Tech, and again, double check that.
I just did. He's been at, he was at Texas Tech, obviously. This is his third year.
Okay.
He was at Little Rock for one, and before that, he was at Angelo State.
Yeah.
And then McMurray.
Not in a big D1
school.
Yeah, not
right.
D1 programs. So you think about what he did with Euler, took him to the NCAA tournament. I believe they went like 30-5, and then they beat Purdue in that crazy first round game. They don't get to the NCAA tournament in his first year at Tech. The second year, again, they make the Elite Eight, should have won the Big 12, not for his star player's best injury. And then they get to a Final Four with the team this year. Y'all, if you haven't seen his team this year, they lost like five of their top six scorers from last year. Zaire Smith was a first-round draft pick. Keenan Evans was their best player. They lost him. They lost so much talent. He got a transfer to him, this kid from St. John's. Moretti's played really well, that Italian point guard. They don't look like, you know, when you get onto the tarmac, the quote-unquote tarmac team, and you're like, man, those guys look good. They don't intimidate you when they walk out of the bus or they walk out of the plane. But, heck, they could play. and they will D you up, and then they're efficient offensively on the other end. They're very similar to Virginia. I think that CBS would not want a national championship featuring Texas Tech and Virginia because of their style of play, but they're just so well coached. And again, it's year three, and he took what team? Texas Tech, little history outside of Bobby Knight, to a Final Four in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, and making it to an Elite Eight last year. I mean, you think it's just, oh, maybe that was just a shot in the pan. No. I mean, he loses all of his scorers and makes it back. I mean, the guy can coach. So, yeah, I think he'd be worth that type of money. If Arkansas, and again, this is just all speculation, but just if Arkansas came out and they had said, we're hiring Chris Beard for $6 million a year, signed him to a five-year, $30 million contract. I'm doing my math right and hope that's it. Yeah, it is. I would be like, okay, worth it. I mean, I would. It would just be that without even hesitation to be like, that's worth it. He is worth that type of money. And I would also, again, completely throw my applause and respect to Hunter Yurecek and the University of Arkansas Administration and Board of Trustees for going out there and being committed to winning at that, because that's what you got to be. You can't be committed to winning and not pony up the money to win. Like, I understand that sometimes you can get lucky and get these coaches that are up and coming, but if you say, because you fired Mike Anderson, all right, you made that decision to let Mike Anderson go. I think that most people feel like it was time. It was time to move on from Mike Anderson. But if you're going to move on to Mike Anderson, you better show that you're committed to getting somebody better than Mike Anderson. You have to show that you're willing to go out and get somebody better than Mike Anderson. Because if you end up with Steve Alford, you know, or the McCaffrey guy from Iowa, are those guys better than Mike Anderson?
The media would hate McCaffrey because he's one of the least liked coaches in NCAA basketball, and the fans would hate Alford because it doesn't look like, based on his prior past, that he would get it done here. Think about the snowball effect heading into next year if you were somehow, some way. Because, again, if you want Chris Beard or if there's another coach, you better hope that Tech loses this weekend.
Yep.
You better hope they get blown out by Michigan State. Say that happens. Somehow, some way, sliver of hope, he decides, you know what, I'm going to come to Arkansas. I'm going to try and compete for championships year after year like they did in the 90s. They put Nolan's name on the court. The supposed curse is lifted. You get butts in seats. Chris Beard puts butts in seats. Now, he's not the same as a Bill Self, Roy Williams, Kay, Izzo. He's not in that category yet because he hasn't been doing it that long. But he still puts tails in seats. And that's one of the things that you can back up spending $6 million on a guy.
Yeah.
Is when you have sold-out arenas. Can you imagine, whatever, if he ended up being the coach, not only would you have probably close to a sold-out arena that first game, the Nolan game, whenever they decide to dedicate the court to him, is going to be sold out. Say they start winning in non-conference play. That first SEC game in Bud Walton, especially if it's on a Saturday, it's going to be sold out, and you just have that continuous effect. Yeah. Now, you wonder if he can do it. Like, again, I think he went 18-15 in year one.
18-14. 18-14.
6-12
in conference.
So you hope that there's a win or two that Arkansas shouldn't, that they get. So there's like, hey, there's going to be a lot at the end of the tunnel. Because don't expect, if he came in, for them to just go to a Final Four his first year. That's, no. I think, unrealistic.
No, but I will say this, too. I think that there is some talent on this team, though. I don't think that he's going to come into a situation where, like, Stan Heath or even Mike Anderson came into, where it was just like, you had, no offense to the guy because I love him, but you have a bunch of Blake Edenses and Denisio Gomez and Larry Satchel. Like, those are your players that you have to deal with. You have some players, again, and assuming they all stay, I know you lose Daniel Gaffer and all that, but I mean, Isaiah Joe is a player. Like, Mason Jones has some upside to where he could be a player. I mean, you have some guys that could, with development and with some, you know, working around with them, I mean, even like a Reggie Chaney, love his upside. You have some guys that you can work with. So I don't think that even if you got somebody like that, yeah, would the first year be an NCAA tournament season? No, I don't think anyone would expect that. But I think that you could keep it from being a 9-win, 10-win season, just given the circumstances and all that. Plus, Arkansas, we don't know for sure, but Arkansas will probably play Kentucky at home next year, too. So, you know, that game will be sold out.
Yeah, that'll be great. And the idea that this Arkansas basketball team, the cupboard is bare, is just not realistic. There's some talent, as you mentioned, on this team. This is not like when Mike Anderson walked in after Pelfrey. This is not like when Brett Bielema walked in after John L. Smith, and now Chad Morris walked in after Brett Bielema. There is some actually, not only is there talent, but there's in-state talent, and there's kids coming up in this next class that if you can get a fiery guy like Chris Beard or someone else that seems to have some recruiting talent to get him in there, because Culver's their best player, and he's from Lubbock. He's from Lubbock, Texas. So if you can somehow, some way, because he would be a way better recruiter in terms of getting in-state kids compared to Musselman, I'm assuming Alford, and other guys that are on that radar. So he just has that aspect. Kids, a lot of kids these days, you know all this, kids look at recent success. That's a lot of what ties into recruiting,
sure,
and recent success. And if you're Chris Beard and you walk into Arkansas coming off a Final Four, an Elite Eight appearance, you're like, guys, I just did this. Where I'm back. I'm bringing Arkansas basketball back. That's important to in-state kids.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, and we'll end on this one. If he can do it at Texas Tech, he can do it at Arkansas. I mean, I know that we like to make fun of Lubbock, Texas, and all that stuff, but we actually just had Damon on our Facebook page, on our Facebook stream, ask, when you compare football, basketball, and baseball, which program is better, Arkansas or Texas Tech? And you know, right now, currently, it might be Texas Tech.
Baseball is the only saving grace for Arkansas.
Yeah, because basketball and football are for sure better. As of right now, things can change in a year or two, but as of right now, Texas Tech is better. But, you know, again, it's all coming down to how much money you're going to offer Chris Beard. Because to get Chris Beard, if that's what you're doing, if that's the whole grand plan is to get Chris Beard or at least talk to him, you're going to have to pony up about $6 million a year. If they're willing to do it, he's absolutely 100% worth it every single time.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Talk a little recruiting and everything Razorback. Good morning, Richard. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing good, John. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, anytime, man. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Tom Murphy to start the interview. With the past few days of all the reports, all the craziness, all the names being thrown around, I don't know if you're like me, Richard, where I'm just got info overload. I feel like I just had so much stuff coming my way, I can't decipher through it all. But when it comes to this Razorback basketball coaching search, what do you know? What do you think? What do you make of this whole situation and what they're currently in right now?
Well, I mean, I think that, you're right. You're hearing so many different things. Yesterday I talked to somebody and said he thinks it's down to Patino and Musselman. I mean, and then you talk to somebody else, you hear something different. And so evidently, several people have said it, and Bob Holt said it in today's paper that several sources are telling him that Hunter's going to wait till Chris Beard is done with the Final Four and at least talk to him and see, you know, and make him say no. So at this time it appears it's not going to be over in the next day or two, but at the same time I've heard it could be. So like you said, who knows?
Well, you mentioned the Chris Beard because that's something we've been talking about this morning. I mean, how much money do you think it would take per year to get Chris Beard to come to Arkansas? Because he's a Texas guy. He's in a situation that's really good. I know he's got some relationships with somebody like Jack Stevens down in Little Rock. But, I mean, how much money would you be talking to try to lure Chris Beard away from Texas Tech?
Well, what is he now? He's making like 2.8. So, you know he's going to get a bump from Texas Tech to probably 3.5, 4, or something like that. I mean, it's you're going to get into a bidding war if there is some interest on his part. And are you willing to spend that much money? I mean, you hear different things about the foundation and where they are, you know, financially. And but at the same time, a lot of uncertainty. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. If there is interest, obviously they'll go full bore after him. But at the same time, I mean, it's going to be very costly.
Speaking of Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat is Ed right now on the Morning Rush. All right, Richard, let's get into some football. This one of these things that we talked a little bit about this week because it's been all basketball. But the Hogs added a transfer kicker from UT San Antonio, Jared Sackett. Now, we know that they have scholarships open. We know that they've been looking especially for linebackers and defensive backs to add some of the depth. But to me, this kind of came out of nowhere. What did you make of this situation and him as a kicker and coming to Arkansas? What was this whole story about?
I think it's a good pickup. I mean, the guy obviously has a track record of success on Division I level and had a very good freshman year, good sophomore year. He'll sit out this upcoming season and be eligible for 2020 after Connor's done with his eligibility. So I think it sets up to be a pretty good situation. Obviously, he's going to have to, you know, prove it on the field, you know, on the SEC level, but at least at UT San Antonio, he's pretty impressive. 19-22 as a freshman and 14-19 as a sophomore, hit a long of 51 yards. So you got to like that situation where, you know, when Connor's gone, you got a guy that's a pretty proven kicker. So, you know, I think that was a good pickup.
So what about the visits and everything going on with recruiting heading right into the spring game this weekend? I know that there's always some visits going on and some guys that they're offering and talking to. Just what's the current situation that Razorback football recruiting finds themselves in heading into the spring game?
Well, you got five official visitors so far, unless there's a late addition. Cavante Dixon from Carthage, Texas, is a running back. His brother plays for Texas, but Arkansas is running pretty aggressively with him and trying to convince him to be a Razorback. He's coming in. Jaron Thompson, the safety from Lufkin, Texas. He, along with his teammate, wide receiver Jalen Polk, both will be coming in. And those guys recently visited, so they're coming in for official visits. So I think Arkansas sits very good with both of these guys. Both of these guys are definitely high on the board and guys that they would definitely take. And then you got safety Darius Snow from Hebron High School in Carrollton, Texas. He's a guy that is very, very highly thought of, a four-star prospect, and a guy that Coach Mark Smith's done an excellent job of recruiting. I mean, he's got over 30 offers, and to be able to get one of those official visits is big. And then Jamie Vance, the cornerback commitment from New Orleans, Edna Carr, High School, he's coming in, and then you got a host several unofficial visits coming in this weekend. Contrell Wallace from Bryant is one of them. They want to keep an eye on him. You know, anytime you have an in-state kid visiting at this stage of the process, you always think that there's a possibility of him maybe pulling the trigger. We'll see.
You know, there's a lot of players, newcomers, freshmen, all of that coming in and been going to be able to participate in the spring game. Is there a particular player that you're going to be the most interested in? Obviously, the quarterback with Ben Hicks is probably going to get a lot of attention. But what are some of the players, or who are some of the players you're going to be really looking at in the spring game, some of the newcomers that they have?
You know, I think everybody wants to see Knox. I mean, in a game situation, I saw him a little bit in a scrimmage, but that was just a short period of time, but he's obviously one. Then you want to see some of the other receivers and some of the freshmen that are you know, early enrollees, Mateo Sully, Zach Williams. Both of those guys have speed and something that coming off the edge at Arkansas is kind of needing going into next season. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that there's a position I'm not going to be interested in just because they have so much improvement to make from last year to this upcoming season. I think you got to eye just about every position. Some of the guys that you know that are trying to step up and take the places of some of the departing seniors. So there's a lot of guys that I'm going to be watching on Saturday.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.